Would you please turn in your Bibles to the book of Hosea? Hosea chapter 2, one of those so-called minor prophets. Minor because of their length, not because of their importance, lack of importance. But Hosea chapter 2 and verses 16 through 23, I want us to read. Please hear the word of God. It will come about in that day, declares the Lord, that you call me Ishi, and will no longer call me Bailey. Ishi, let me interject here, means my husband. Okay, Bailey obviously is Baal. Okay, you'll call the Lord, that Israel will call the Lord her husband, and not Baal. 17, for I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, so that they will be mentioned by their names no more. In that day I will also make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and will make them lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. Hosea is a very unusual book. There's no book like it in the Bible. I don't know of any other book like it in history. But because it's very unique because it is... personified. It's largely written to Hosea, the prophet himself, and God tells him, he commands him to take this woman for his wife whose name is Gomer. And God commands Hosea to take Gomer for his wife specifically because she is a wife of adultery. She would be an unfaithful wife, an adulterous wife, who would leave him many times for other lovers. But God is using this marriage relationship to personify, to picture for us, the relationship between him and his people. So that's what the book largely is about, and goes back and forth between Gomer's unfaithfulness and then Hosea's forgiveness and his renewed covenant love to her. And then interjected here in verses 16 through 20 that we read, I'd like to read through 23 as well. Let's follow along as I read 21 to 23. Notice the common phrase, it will come about in that day. That day, said in verse 16, in verse 18, and verse 21, too. In that day that I will respond, declares the Lord, I will respond to the heavens, and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain, to the new wine, and to the oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. Israel. Verse 23, I will sow her for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. This is all covenant language, like a marriage. But Gomer is so unfaithful, representing Israel, and really ultimately representing us as well. Isn't it strange, as we sang in number 181, verse 4, what punishment so strange is suffered yonder? The shepherd dies for sheep that love to wander. This is foolishness, isn't it? And that's what it was to the eyes that saw the cross. This man is dying for people that hated him? For sheep that loved to wander? And as the apostles preached the cross, it was foolishness to the first hearers. That's what Paul calls it. utter foolishness, makes no sense whatsoever. Well, that's what this was in Hosea. This is foolishness. Hosea, why are you remaining faithful to this wife who is so adulterous and she turns away from you? She's not faithful to you. Why? Michael Card has a song about this, the Song of Gomer, in his songs through the Old Testament. And listen to what he says. He says, don't know what, and here he personifies Gomer, she's speaking, don't know what he sees in me. He is spirit, he is free, and I the wife of adultery. Gomer is my name. Simply more than I can see, how he keeps on forgiving me, how he keeps his sanity. Hosea, you're a fool. The second verse, the fondness of a father, the passion of a child, the tenderness of a loving friend, an understanding smile, all of this and so much more you've lavished on a faithless whore. I've never known love like this before. Hosea, you're a fool. Last verse, this God of yours would not have told to lift a love that you couldn't hold, and though time and time again I flee, I'm always glad to see you coming after me. The chorus goes like this. A fool to love someone like me. A fool to suffer silently. Though sometimes through your eyes I see, I'd rather be a fool. That's Hosea. It's foolish. Why? He had every right to divorce Gomer. But he didn't. He stayed faithful to her. Why? To preach to us that Christ is a fool as well. Christ died for sheep, that's us, that love to wander. We're no better than Gomer, are we? To our God, the last verse that I read to you last week from 1 John, children, he says there, keep yourselves from idols. Very last words of 1 John. Why? Because John Calvin said our hearts are idol factories. That's what we make in our hearts so easily. We're so prone to make idols in our hearts. Whether it's money, children, whether it's other things in this world, the things of this world, whether it's people, spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends, children, parents, family, the applause of men, whatever it may be, religiosity even, whatever it may be, our hearts are idol factories. We're so prone to wander. And yet Christ's love is sure and steadfast, as we read there in Isaiah 55, the sure, steadfast love for David, an everlasting covenant. That's what Hosea had promised to Gomer, and that's what Christ promised to us. But look at the verses, and I wish we could go through this in detail, but we can't. The promise here, the covenant, is pictured in a global way. Verse 18, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky. It's like he's calling the all creation to witness the covenant that God is making with his people. And he's even making a covenant with creation itself, with the beasts of the field and all of creation. Why? Because God's redemption for us is going to affect all of creation, so much so that one day he will make what? A new heavens and a new earth. That's the final end of this. We will sit down with them at the marriage supper of the Lamb with Jesus face to face and be forever with him in the new heavens and the new earth. So this is a global covenant. But I want you to notice especially verse 19 and verse 20. God says, I will betroth you, that's engage you. I will promise my love to you, just like an engaged couple, a married couple, to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice and loving kindness and in compassion. There's none of that in Gomer, is there? She is unrighteous. She is unjust. Loving kindness there is sure, steadfast love, covenant love. She's not faithful, and she's not compassionate to her husband. And that's us, isn't it, as well? There's no righteousness in us. There's no justice in us, no faithfulness, no compassion for our Lord Jesus Christ in us. But there is in Him. You see, that's the point. There's none of this in us that God requires for His covenant. There's no righteousness, no justice, no faithfulness, no covenant love, but there is in Jesus. Verse 20, I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. You will have a personal, face-to-face, presence-to-presence relationship with the Lord. Why? Because we're faithful? No. Because He's faithful. And as I said, the significance, I believe, of this phrase, that day, very significant. It will come about in that day, verse 16. Verse 18, in that day, and verse 21, and it will come about in that day. In the prophets, that always refers to you and I. It refers to the new covenant. Isaiah spoke like that. Jeremiah spoke like that repeatedly, especially in Jeremiah 31. I will make a new covenant with them in that day, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And this here, the Lord's table, symbolizing the Lord's death, is the sign of that covenant. Just like the rainbow was the sign of hope for the Noahic covenant, God's covenant with Noah, this is the sign of Jesus' covenant with us. Why? Because He renews His promise. I'm going to betroth you to me forever and ever and ever. And it's good for us to be reminded of this, because we desperately need our love for Jesus to be renewed, don't we? Why? Because our hearts are idol factories. How are we going to keep them from idols? By being renewed month by month, first Sunday of every month, first Sunday of the year, renew your love for Jesus. He has brought you to be His bride, church. He has promised all of these things to you forever, and nothing will ever break His promise. Why should we not love Him more in 2015? Why? Give me one reason why. Oh, we should love Him so much more. Let us grow in our love for Him, in our faithfulness to Him. Oh, prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. That's what we need. But that's not, our salvation is not based upon our faithfulness to Jesus. It's based on His faithfulness to us.